And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The head of Scotland's Anglicans feared being deposed by his fellow bishops over a bullying row, which has plunged the church into turmoil, priests have said. Leaders of the Scottish Episcopal Church commissioned an independent report which found that the Right Reverend Dan Dyer, Bishop of Aberdeen and Orkney, had presided over a culture of systemic dysfunction and should stand down immediately. The College of Bishops instead proposed a second review of the events, which led to Dyer becoming Scotland's first woman bishop in 2018. The Most Reverend Mark Strange, the church primus, played an important role in her direct appointment after a failure within the diocese to agree on a candidate. Colleagues claim Strange, the Bishop of Moray, Ruhr, Ross and Caithness, feared he would be forced out. Mark started ringing around various clergy and asking if he could count on their support, one church member said. He said that individuals within the College of Bishops were trying to frame him for everything that had gone wrong with the Dyer debacle. One priest said the words he used were, "They are out to get me." The Times had seen a video from last December where Strange raised concerns about bullying between bishops. At the Church's General Synod, he said, "We cannot fully proclaim the gospel if we cannot see when our own behaviour is damaging to others." Referring to an internal survey highlighting concerns, he said, "The report revealed bullying at every place in the church, clergy to clergy, bishop to bishop." Strange asked church members to have the courage to name bullying for what it is and to deal with it. One source said the other bishops were looking quite unfairly to pin the blame on Mark. He was pretty frightened. The bishops then seemed to have moved away from that and decided there wasn't going to be another report which focused on Mark after all. A church spokesman said it would not comment on anonymous remarks, gossip or speculation. For Rome's emperors, it was an earthly paradise, a lavish complex of villas, gardens and fountains where they displayed a menagerie of exotic creatures such as lions, bears and ostriches. Known as the Garden of the Gods, the remains of an imperial pleasure palace where the likes of Caligula and Claudius were once entertained by dancing girls and musicians has now been turned into Italy's newest museum. The archaeological treasure trove was found incongruously beneath an office block in the heart of Rome during building work. Due to open to the public on November the 6th, it is packed full of gems from exquisite glassware to penknives, bronze inkwells, fishing hooks, an ivory doll's leg and brass pendants from a cavalry officer's harness. Archaeologists discovered 100,000 fragments and objects from the Roman world, including the tooth of a brown bear and the bones of African lions and ostriches, a testimony to the bestiary that the emperors kept for the delight of visitors and to show off their own power and wealth. Animals like deer and ostriches would have been allowed to wander freely around the gardens, but lions, bears and other ferocious creatures would have been caged. It would have been like a small zoo, said Giorgio Leone, one of the archaeologists who excavated the site. The Roman remains came to light during work carried out beneath the headquarters of an association that provides insurance for Italy's doctors and dentists. The villa and garden complex was built on the Esquiline Hill, one of the famous seven hills of Rome. It was originally constructed in the 1st century AD by a wealthy aristocrat who bequeathed it to Emperor Tiberius. From there it passed down to a succession of emperors, including Claudius and Caligula. Caligula, who has a reputation of being one of Rome's most eccentric, if not psychopathic, emperors, was so enamored of the retreat that when a delegation of Jewish merchants from Alexandria in Egypt came to put their grievances to him, they could hardly get a word in. The emperor spent the whole time directing improvements and upgrades to the gardens and pavilions, classical sources recalled. He had windows made of glass installed, a rarity at the time, even for an emperor. When Caligula was assassinated in AD 41, his sisters had his body brought to the imperial estate. It was burned because they feared that otherwise it would be desecrated if it fell into the hands of angry Romans who hated the emperor for his tyrannical rule. The underground museum is centered on the remains of a courtyard where the emperor would have relaxed. Archaeologists found 2,000-year-old pollen and seeds from exotic plants that came from Asia Minor and Egypt. The remains of food attest to the opulent feast that the emperor and his entourage would have enjoyed. During the excavation, experts found oyster shells, as well as the bones of gilt-head bream, dusky grouper, tuna, and cuttlefish. Favourite dishes of the Roman upper class included oyster pie, sea urchins, wild boar steaks, roasted warblers, and thrushes with asparagus. There are also religious artefacts, including a terracotta pot depicting the ancient Egyptian divinity Bes, a creature with the head of a man and the body of a lion. And finally, young Jamie was at seminary trying out his first ever sermon on his tutor. The tutor listened carefully and then said, "Son, a strong sermon should have a compelling opening, a compelling ending, and they should be as close together as possible." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.